This program is proudly sponsored by Holistic Therapies by Camille. Fancying a full body massage with cup-in therapy to help you relax and release tension? Go to holistictherapiesbycamille.com to book yourself in.
Siyah and Unstoppable, launching us into another Join in the Dots here on Hospital Radio Glamorgan. Hello and a very warm welcome. I'm Julie Kissick and this is the show that quite literally helps build connections and foster community. And if you're listening for the first time or the 19th, because we're on programme 19 today, then I'm so grateful to have you here and I hope you'll find something that you enjoy, relate to, or maybe you'll learn something over the next hour. It's very much a mix of conversation and music here, and today we'll be stargazing with Miles Smith, people watching with Sam Fender, and we're putting on some new shoes with Paolo Nutini. Great song that, and an artist we don't hear so much about these days because his scheduled appearances are quite rare. However, he's becoming something of a master of the unscheduled appearance because he's been popping up when least expected, as he did in Edinburgh in 2023 and in Glasgow on St. Patrick's Day this year. The Paisley-born singer launched into a series of his songs before delivering a rendition of Simply the Best, a song, of course, made famous by Tina Turner. And a fantastic surprise for the people in the pub that he was in, who presumably had no idea who he was until he started singing. Awareness Days. I refer to them a lot on this show because one of our key drivers is to be a space to offer information and insight into areas of life that may or may not be familiar. Sometimes insights lead us to discoveries that are helpful to us or to those around us, even if that means just being a little bit more tolerant of other people's experiences. ARFID, Avoidant or Restrictive Food Intake Disorder, according to the National Eating Disorders Association, affects individuals who limit the volume and or the variety of foods they consume. But unlike other eating disorders like anorexia or bulimia, food avoidance or restriction is not related to fears of what they call fatness or distress about body shape, size or weight. Instead, in ARFID, selective eating is motivated by a lack of interest in eating or an interest in food itself, or what's called sensory sensitivity, for example, strong reactions to things like taste, texture, and even the smell of foods, and or a fear of adverse consequences, so people who are concerned about choking or vomiting. ARFID most commonly develops during infancy or in early childhood, and it can persist into adulthood, but it can also develop at any age. The National Eating Disorders Association says children who don't outgrow normal picky eating, or in whom picky eating is severe, appear to be more likely to develop ARFID. People with certain medical conditions that make eating uncomfortable or developmental disorders such as autism may be more likely to develop ARFID. And comorbid conditions such as autism spectrum disorder, ADHD, anxiety disorders, and depression are common amongst those with ARFID. And while ARFID can't be diagnosed if other eating disorders such as anorexia or bulimia, for example, are present, some people with ARFID can develop weight and shape concerns. And a small portion of these will transition from ARFID to another eating disorder over time. While there's limited research on the prevalence of ARFID, studies have found that between 0.5 and 5% of children and adults in the general population have the disorder. ARFID Awareness UK has lots of resources on its website and across its social media channels. And there's also a YouTube channel with a few videos on there offering insights into what ARFID is. Here's the audio from one of them.
This video is a quick introduction to ARFID. It's funded by ARFID Awareness and developed by experts in eating disorders. One of the difficulties with ARFID is that lots of people, including health professionals, haven't heard of it or don't really understand what it is. So here is a quick summary of ARFID, its impact, and some common misconceptions. So what is ARFID? ARFID stands for Avoidant Restrictive Food Intake Disorder. This is an eating disorder that makes it very difficult to eat a range of foods. Let's look at Charlotte, for example. Charlotte is 8. Charlotte's diet is made up of very few foods, only 15 brand-specific food items in total. For example, she will only eat one brand of chocolate, available from one supermarket chain. Charlotte is not trying to lose weight and doesn't have any concerns about her body image. Instead, Charlotte has an extreme fear of the food itself and finds the sensory properties of the food, the look, the taste, the feel in the mouth and the smell, disgusting. Since she was a toddler, she's found the sensory properties of food hard to tolerate. Sanjeet, a 22-year-old student, also has a diagnosis of ARFID. He's not interested in eating foods or trying new foods. Sanjeet's very restricted diet began when he started secondary school. His main fear is that the food he eats will make him sick. He's so worried about this that he will now only eat 10 food items and is losing weight, despite the fact he doesn't want to. He's also really worried about how his food looks. He will eat chips, but if a chip has a mark on it or isn't cooked quite right, Sanjeet will not eat at all. Of course, everyone's experience of ARFID is different, but for a person with ARFID, food is restricted because of lack of interest in food or eating, or because of the sensory properties of the food, like Charlotte, or because of a fear of potential consequences of eating, like Sanjeet, such as being unable to swallow, choking, or being sick when eating unfamiliar foods. So what is the impact of ARFID? ARFID can have a huge impact in terms of things like health, mealtime stress, and socialising. For people like Charlotte and Sanjeet, the restricted diet of ARFID can mean they don't get enough nutrients and vitamins. It's common to have deficiencies such as low iron or vitamin D levels. In extreme cases, the restricted diet in ARFID may mean that the person doesn't get enough calories to grow properly, or they lose weight. Mealtimes can become very stressful for the person with ARFID and their family because of the pressure to eat and the fear towards foods. For example, Charlotte's mum feels a huge pressure to make sure that Charlotte is eating, but pressure to eat at mealtimes just seems to make the situation worse. Some people with ARFID also find it hard to be around other people eating at school or work. For example, Sanjeet finds a university canteen overwhelming and can't eat at lunchtimes. Often for people with ARFID, there's also lots of anxiety around social occasions involving food, and eating out can be extremely stressful. And now let's think about what ARFID is not. You do not have to be underweight to get a diagnosis of ARFID. In fact, if someone with ARFID has access to their accepted foods, they can often grow normally or stay a good weight. It is not only children who have ARFID. ARFID usually develops in the toddler years, or in later childhood, but people can have ARFID at any age. ARFID is not just autistic eating or picky eating. ARFID is a recognised diagnosis of an eating disorder and causes a level of impairment beyond just picky eating. While there is crossover between autism and ARFID, not every autistic person has ARFID and vice versa. They're distinct. ARFID is not due to parenting or not introducing a healthy diet in a timely fashion. This is a common misconception. Often people with ARFID and those around them can feel they're to blame for the disorder, but it's important to know that ARFID has a genetic component and is not anyone's fault. Thank you for watching, and do check the links in the description for more videos on ARFID.
I think what stopped me in my tracks about what we just heard there was that medical professions sometimes don't know about ARFID. And when I was looking at the social media channels, several adults were commenting that they think they probably have it, but have always seen themselves as really picky or fearful eaters. So sometimes labels are helpful, aren't they? Because if we know more, we can manage things better. As always, I'll link to the charities and the organisations I've mentioned. and they can be found on the Join in the Dots webpage, which is radioglamorgan.com/joininthedots. And a reminder that this is programme 19.
We're your healthy choice. We are Hospital Radio Glamorgan.
American R&B and soul singer Macy Gray there, and I Try from 1999. That was a global hit and the song that propelled her into the public consciousness, and it earned her a Grammy Award for the Best Female Pop Vocal Performance. It also got her debut album on How Life Is to multi-platinum success. This is a love song, a vulnerable anthem about the struggle to move on from a past relationship. Many of you will be familiar with it, and of course with a chorus that says, I try to say goodbye and I choke, try to walk away and I stumble. Though I try to hide it, it's clear, my world crumbles when you're not near. Gray performed the song with the BBC Concert Orchestra in the Radio 2 Piano Room earlier this year. And if you missed it, it really is well worth watching on YouTube. It's had more than 371,000 views. And if you look at the comments, so many people say that she managed to transport them back 27 years to the late 90s. And others commented that they remembered people and pets that they lost and where they were when they first heard the song. That's the power of music, isn't it? It takes us back and it makes us feel things, often involuntarily. That was Go West and Faithful on Hospital Radio Glamorgan. You're listening to Join in the Dots. I'm Julie Kissick, and that song was from 1992. And we're marking, albeit slightly belatedly, the birthday of the National Health Service on the show by giving it a shout out. Because on July the 5th, 1948, the National Health Service was established in the United Kingdom by a Welshman, Aneurin Bevan. Britain was the first Western country to offer free at the point of use medical care to the whole population. And 78 years on, the NHS continues to be a distinguishing feature of the British welfare state. And as a hospital radio station based at the University Hospital of Wales in Cardiff, which is the third largest hospital in the UK and the biggest in Wales, we know the importance of the NHS, because without it, we probably wouldn't be here doing what we're doing to keep you entertained and informed. But ultimately, the NHS isn't about buildings, it's about the people who work for it to provide the services we want and need. We know in recent post-COVID years in particular, the NHS and all those working for it have been pushed to their limits. But the acts of dedication, compassion and expertise that we see those people making on a daily basis makes a huge difference to those in need. Whether that's frontline services or digital data and support teams, every role plays a vital part in delivering our healthcare. And as we reflect on and celebrate the people who keep the NHS running, let's hear from one of them, local to us here at UHW. Charis Joyce is an immunisation coordinator. She explains more about respiratory syncytial virus, a common virus that can cause serious illness in older adults and in newborn babies. The Health Board is encouraging those at highest risk to help protect themselves against it by vaccination, which can help reduce the risk of severe infection and hospitalisation. According to Public Health Wales, before the RSV vaccination programme started in the United Kingdom in 2024, around 33,500 children under five went to hospital because of the virus. And every winter in Wales and England, RSV is thought to cause up to 7,500 deaths in older adults. Most of these deaths are in adults over 75 years of age. Here's Charis to explain more.
RSV stands for respiratory syncytial virus. It's a virus that is very common. It transfers really easily. And in most people, it will lead to a nasty cold or a chest infection. So signs and symptoms of RSV virus are things that you would normally have with any cold or flu. Things like a runny nose, a cough, sore throat, feeling very, very tired. Obviously, if your symptoms are concerning you, you should see a doctor. Unfortunately, in some of our populations, it can be an awful lot worse. We have particularly vulnerable groups like older adults for whom it can cause things like bronchitis, pneumonia. If you've already got a bad chest or breathing issues, or if you're immunosuppressed, it can make those symptoms much, much worse. An example of that would be COPD. It can make those symptoms much harder to deal with. We also have a younger population, our little babies, infants. They don't have as good an immune system as everybody else. It's still developing. And for them, it can cause things like bronchiolitis. Sadly, in the UK, every year, there are 20 to 30 deaths in our young infants. And for the older population, it's estimated between 5,000 and 7,500. The good news is there's now a vaccine that will help these vulnerable groups. The vaccine is available for those who are 75 years and older, and also for those who live in a care home for older adults. Research shows a 75% reduction in the risk of hospitalizations for this age group. We can protect our babies by vaccinating during pregnancy so that the protection from mum can come across to baby and protect in the first months of life. Pregnant women can be vaccinated from 28 weeks of their pregnancy, and it'll protect baby for at least 6 months. And research currently shows that this will lead to over an 80% reduction in the number of babies being hospitalised in those first months. To get your RSV vaccine, you will be invited either to your GP practice or to a Cardiff and Vale University Health Board run community vaccination clinic. Pregnant women can also access the RSV vaccine in their antenatal clinic visits.
And if you're under the care of the Cardiff and Vale University Health Board, walk-in sessions for the over 75s and from pregnant women who are 28 weeks and over are taking place across the area, including at Barry Hospital, Riverside Health Centre in Canton and the Wellbeing Hub in Mileva. If you're not in that area, your GP surgery will be able to tell you where the vaccine is available local to you. And the Welsh Government has announced that from the 1st of September, it's going to expand the programme to include individuals between 65 to 74 years of age in certain clinical at-risk groups. So that includes those who are immunosuppressed, those who have chronic respiratory diseases, including those with poorly controlled asthma, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, and cystic fibrosis. A link to the details on the Join in the Dots programme page. Now, though, here's Justin Timberlake and Mirrors here on Join in the Dots on Hospital Radio Glamorgan, your healthy choice. A double dose of great music for you here on Hospital Radio Glamorgan. This is Joining the Dots, and after Mirrors, that was Passenger and Let Her Go from 2012. Now, pet loss. The death of a beloved cat, dog, rabbit, guinea pig, hamster, whatever it is, it's something many of us experience. But I wonder how many of us talk about how much it can affect us and how much it does affect us. I've had dogs almost all my adult life, and I grew up in a household where the first pet I remember was a cat who was part of the family before I came along. And one of my earliest memories was getting my first rabbit, a baby bunny, a New Zealand white we called Snowy, who lived with us for almost 10 years and who broke all our hearts when he died. Even my dad, who will tell you that he isn't an animal person, shed a tear over Snowy. Pet Remembrance Day falls this month, and although I am slightly cynical about it because it does seem to be something of a commercial construct, I'm going with it because if you've ever loved an animal, you will know instinctively that they leave huge gaps in our hearts and our homes when they go. If you're a pet person, someone who shares your life and your home with these dependent and devoted creatures, you'll probably know the true meaning of unconditional love. I have 4 dogs, 5 rabbits and a cat currently, so 10 little beings to look after who depend entirely on me to keep them safe, fed and loved. Over the years there have been many, many more, some whose names I still can't say without getting a lump in my throat and a physical pain in my heart because I miss them still. Pet Remembrance Day may fall on July the 5th, but for anyone who's loved and lost a dear little soul, every day is a day that we remember them. So if you're suffering as a result of the loss of a faithful friend, or if you know someone who is, and perhaps you've never had that experience yourself, please be compassionate. There's nothing worse than someone saying they had a good life, or they had a long life, or they're out of pain now. Because as pet people, we don't get a long time with them, certainly not a lifetime with our pets. And believe me, their loss is no less significant because they have 4 legs and fur. I couldn't and I wouldn't be without pets in my house, but some people lose a pet and they can't get another one. And if you're in that position, I'd recommend fostering or remote support of an animal. Many rescue centres here and abroad ask for financial support for specific animals that they can't rehome, and in exchange you get updates on their lives. Charities like Guide Dogs for the Blind allow people to sponsor puppies in training. Some people keep a specific candle to light when they feel they're missing their pet. Others have pictures of them close by. Whatever you do, don't ever feel you have to be embarrassed about loving and missing your pets. Not everyone gets it, but if they don't, they're not your people. David Guetta and Titanium bringing us to the end of another Joining the Dots here on Hospital Radio Glamorgan. Thank you for your company. I'm back on Friday with All About Sport. If that's your bag, then do join me if you can. If not, I'll see you at the same time in the same place next Monday.